Father, I just thank you and I praise you for each and every person who came out tonight to sit at your table and to eat fresh manna from heaven. I thank you, Father God, that these people came out expecting you to do a great and a marvelous thing in their life. We thank you for what you've done thus far in this revival, and we thank you for what you're going to do tonight and even in tomorrow night. And Father, if there's a need here that needs to be met, then I'm believing that you're meeting that need right now. If there's lives and hearts that need to be changed, then I'm believing, Father God, that those lives and those hearts are being changed right now. We should never leave the house of God the same as we came. There should always be a change within us. And I'm believing for that to happen again tonight, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God's been giving me, he prophesies the words that I've been teaching. So we no different tonight. He prophesied it again last night, what he wants me to speak. And it's called Fishers of Men. All right. Now, you know that transformation means that you're not going to be the same as when you started, right? It means that changes are supposed to be taking place within your life. If you're going to be transformed, then that means there's going to be a difference about you. And when people look at you, they're going to see a difference about you. You are not going to look the same. You're not going to act the same. All right, the little beam on your face is not going to be the same. It's going to be a bigger beam, right? It's going to be the glory beam that God has placed on you. So tonight, God wants to talk to us about fishers of men. And he said, forget not all my blessings. My children, it is blessing time once again, and you must be waiting with great anticipation for these blessings. Is everybody waiting for the blessings? Because God said this Christmas he wants to give us gifts. He wants to give us gifts. And I'm expecting gifts, aren't you? And I don't care in what shape, form they come in. I'm expecting God to give me great gifts. God goes on to say, I have come a long way with you, and I do not want to lose you now. There is so much to gain from my children and so much that must be accomplished while you're on the move with me. Now, I want you to get what you're reading down in your spirit, man. Just don't let it go into your eyes and back to your sockets and stay there. Amen. Let it travel. God says, I have stayed sort of in the corner watching you as you struggled with your assignments, never knowing when you would falter and fall. He means that you never knew when you were going to falter and fall, okay? But you always got back up and stretched your legs and said, keep moving onward and upward. And when he said that, I wanted to sort of explain to you in there in writing what he was meaning. He said, don't you put a mixture in there. But I did sneak it in there, tell you that it's you, that you don't know when you're going to falter and fall. So we'll read that again, all right? I have stayed sort of in the corner watching you as you struggled with your assignments, never knowing when you would falter and fall. But you always got back up, stretched your legs, and said, keep moving onward and upward. I would like you to try and imagine what this world would be like without me steering the ship. Now remember, this is God speaking. So many are already shipwrecked with me steering the ship. Can you imagine what this world would be like without me at the helm of the ship? Let's read that again. I would like you to try and imagine what this world would be like without me steering the ship. So many are already shipwrecked with me steering the ship. Can you imagine what this world would be like without me at the helm of the ship? And when he said that, that blew my mind, because it is what's happening in the body of Christ. God is steering the ship, but the people are becoming shipwrecked. God said the reason you get shipwrecked is because you always take over steering the ship. You always think you can do it better than I. But alas, you always prove yourselves wrong. You want to hear that again? The reason you get shipwrecked is because you always take over steering the ship. You always think you can do it better than I, but alas, you always prove yourselves wrong. I am the great fisherman, and I choose all of my leaders that I know will become fisher of men and who will not let the net drop when it gets too full. Isn't that? I thought that was neat. Mark, so if he's chosen you, then he knows you're not going to drop the ball. When that net gets full of souls, you're just going to minister those souls, no matter how many it is. Mark 1:17 says, Jesus said to them, come with me. I'll make a new kind of fisherman out of you. I'll show you how to catch men and women instead of perch and bass. They didn't ask questions. They dropped their nets and followed. I wish you all would do like these people did. You ask questions. Where are we going? What's it going to benefit me? Amen. Isn't that the way it goes? You just don't drop what you're doing and follow. You ask a lot of questions. Well, just let me think about that. Let me pray on this. Amen. And Mark 1:17 said, then Jesus said to them, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. The only way you're going to be able to win the lost souls to Christ is if you follow Christ. You can't win anybody to Christ if you're not following him. All right? Then God went on to say, I will be filling up the nets in the days ahead, and sometimes you will feel as though the net will break under the load, but not so. For I will be there to lighten the load, and I will ensure you at all times that I am more than able to bring in the catch. There is a multitude of reasons that I am calling you forth as fishers of men at this given time, but the one important event is the great harvest that is already ready for harvesting. And Luke 10:2 says, then Jesus said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And then John 4:35 says, do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already ripe for harvest. The souls are just waiting for and crying out for somebody to come and minister to them. My son will soon be coming after his bride, and I must bring in the ones that have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I thought this was a neat statement that he made. My son will soon be coming after his bride, and I must bring in the ones that have been called, you know, have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And Revelation 19:9 said, then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. You know, you're blessed because you've been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And we don't act like that, do we? We're not going to be like we used to. We are not going to be the same tomorrow as we were right now, right? We are going to change, and we're going to allow God to transform us into the super Christian that he wants us to be. Super child of God that he wants us to be. God went on to say, just as my son turned the water into wine at the great wedding in my word, he will once again turn the water into wine, and all shall partake of this heavenly wine and will be filled to overflowing with my complete substance. Now, I looked up heavenly wine, and that's a whole big teaching, so we won't go there, all right? I mean, it's a really wonderful teaching, though. So just as my son turned the water into wine at the great wedding in my word, he will once again turn the water into wine, and all shall partake of this heavenly wine, and will be filled to overflowing with my complete substance. And John 2, verse 1 says, this is talking about the very first miracle that Jesus ever performed. So on the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And this is what God was talking about the wedding. Now both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. And Jesus said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. He's saying, your problem's not my problem, is what he was saying there. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there were set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them up to the brim. And Jesus said to them, draw some out now, and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. And when the master of the feast had turned the water that was made wine, and I stopped there. I just wanted to get this point out. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, God, this was his first miracle, he turned that water into wine. Amen. And we are going to drink this heavenly wine real soon. You'll see. it's going to be a wonderful thing that God is doing with his church. Then God said, when I call, answer immediately. Never tarry for one instant along the riverbank. I need to submerge you in my rivers of living waters so you will be able to withstand the days ahead. What did he say? When I call, answer immediately. Never tarry for one instant along the riverbank. I need to submerge you in my rivers of living waters so you'll be able to withstand the days ahead. And John 38 says, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So he said here, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And that's talking about the Holy Spirit. And the disciples hadn't yet received the Holy Spirit, but they were going to receive the Holy Spirit after he left. And Jesus left the Holy Spirit here to minister to us. And we need to make sure that we are filled with the Holy Spirit at all times if we are to have living waters within us, because the Holy Spirit is the living waters. Amen? You can see so many people out there trying to minister with no Spirit. They don't have the Holy Spirit in them. They don't even know about the Holy Spirit. And they're out there trying to minister without the Holy Spirit. And what's happening is they're leading many astray. If you don't have the Spirit of God abiding in you, then don't try to minister. Because all you're doing is ministering with your flesh. And it will profit you or nobody else anything. Everywhere you go, anything you do should be totally led by the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on to say, these days will be brutal, and even my chosen ones would be taken out if I do not shorten these days of warfare. And Matthew 24:21 says, Jesus said, for then there will be great tribulation such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And what did Jesus say there that I wrote those scriptures? He said, these days will be brutal, and even my chosen ones will be taken out if I do not shorten these days of warfare. And God goes on to say, you are soldiers of the cross, and you will far surpass all that I have called you forth to do. I thought that was exciting. He said, you will far surpass all that he has called you forth to do. Then he goes on to say, these have surely been as the days of Noah, and the ark is just about completed. And then the dreadful end will come, and all my chosen ones will be called up to meet my son in the air. And 1 Thessalonians 4:17 says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. See, this is a prophetic word. Every night I say, okay, God, what do you want me to give to the people? And he prophesizes a message to me. This is his message word for word. Then what I do is I go through and I get the scripture that backs up his word. Because when Jesus prophesies, it's always the word, in case you don't understand what's going on here. All right? And then God went on to say, but until that day comes, you don't sit around and wait for Jesus to appear in the clouds. You're about the Father's business. He said, but until that day comes, I am calling you forth to do a complete works for me. I am uncovering sin in your lives, so you will address this sin and come to me with a broken, contrite heart that I will be able to change into my heart of love. And remember, he talked about our cold stone hearts the other night. And Psalm 51:15 says, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. You see this? You know, guys, we cannot do church as usual. We have to allow God to change us. We have to be changed from inside out. We have to be vessels of honor that God can work through. And this is a problem in the church. The church does not want to hear that you have to change. The church does not want to hear that you have to be cleaned up. The church wants you to tickle their ears and say, I'm doing fine just the way I am. But the church is not. The church is not. Then God went on to say, remember, the world does not know me as you know me. So you must be ready at every given second to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And that gospel in a nutshell is Jesus loves you. Hear what he says? Remember, the world does not know me as you know me. So you must be ready at every given second to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. And that gospel in a nutshell is Jesus loves you. Do you know that world out there doesn't know that anybody loves them? Do you know how many drug people or alcoholics that you meet and you talk to and they said, nobody's ever loved me. There's people sitting in the house of God that say, nobody's ever loved me. And that's why whenever we had this banner with love on it, God said, take it down because they don't believe it. So he had me put up believe up there. It says something to do with Christmas. He just wants you to keep looking at that word. That word might slow into your spirit eventually. And you might start believing that Jesus is real. And Jesus really does love you. Amen. I remember when I was first born again, I was at a prayer meeting and somebody came to me and said, they were crying. It was a young man. He said, Barbara, do you know how much God loves you? And I looked at him, I thought, he's crazy. I said, yeah, I do. And he cried even harder. He said, no, you don't. But you're going to find out real soon how much he truly does love you. And you know what? I found out I did not know even a grain of how much God loved me. But I'm still learning. And he really does love me. All right. Then God went on to say, the harvest needs to be washed and cleansed by the washing of my word, and the enemy cast into the abyss. In Ephesians 5:26 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having a spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. See, what God, don't you understand what God's doing? He's calling you to be fisher of men. And he's teaching you how to treat these fish that you catch, these souls that you catch. And he's also teaching you that if you're not where you should be, if you're not walking like Jesus walked, you're not going to be able to cleanse these fish, I'll call them sheep, okay? Come on. I see too many invite people into the house of God that are messed up, and they make them worse than what they were when they first came into the church. Because they won't let God change their life, and they're sure not going to let God change another sinner's life, because that devil in them doesn't want another soul saved. And that's not right. Church, we have to be an epistle of Jesus Christ. Then God goes on to say, knowledge will be poured out into your heart. Now listen to this. And you will know exactly what to say and when to say it. Never think it a light thing that I am doing with you. Everyone is looking into my word and saying, I am going to do what I did in my word. But my word tells you that I'm going to do a new thing. And this is a problem with the body of Christ. We're reading the word and trying to do it just exactly as we read it. But see, we're in a new dispensation of time. And there's things in the word that we have not yet found, you know, realized are there, and God's bringing those things out, and then he's going to use those new things that are still the word, and that's what he's going to do in this end time, that he is doing in this end time dispensation. And then he goes on to say, you are the dispensation of believers that I have chosen to work through with this new thing. You guys are in a beautiful place with God. He has chosen each one of you to work this new thing. So we can't go back and say, well, you know, my pastor did it this way 10 years ago. It doesn't matter what your pastor did 10 years ago. It's what is Jesus Christ of Nazareth doing today. And we're not taking away from the gospel. We are working in the gospel. I've you know, since I've been studying here for the revival, God has shown me so many things. I've read them for the last 40 years, but God has brought them to the forefront and showed me things in those words that I have never seen before. Their words are there. I just never saw them before, even though I read them. And this is what one of the new things is. We are going to really delve into the Word and see the Word for what it is. Perry Stone, he does the very same thing. He studies the Word, and God shows him things in the Word that nobody else has ever seen. But it's a truth. It's right there in the Word. So don't reject God's Word. You are free from man's doctrines. And you are, so he said, you are the dispensation of believers that I have chosen to work through with this new thing. Then he goes on to say, you are free from man's doctrines, and you are not burdened down with false teachings, and therefore my Holy Spirit shall show you new things to come, and new things that you will accomplish for the Father of Lights. He said, you are not burdened down by false teachings and false doctrines. In other words, his Holy Spirit's been teaching, when you come in the house of God and you're messed up and you have all these doctrines in your head, and then you get the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit starts speaking to you, and the Holy Spirit starts showing you the truth of the Word, and the Holy Spirit starts changing you. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of Lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. All right, now see, one time I was praying, and God said, he prophesied to me in person. He said, I am the Father of Lights. Well, I thought, is that God? I never saw that in the Word. So I looked it up, and there it was. You know, you can always, when he speaks to you, you can always find it in his Word. And you should always back it up with the Word. And then God goes on to say, I am working works in my peoples that no devil in hell will be able to extract. And see, this has been the problem of the church. The devil has come and taken away the things that God has tried to teach you, because they weren't rooted and grounded in the Spirit. He says, you are those that I am working this works in, and you shall go forth unhindered by the cares of this world, and you shall set the captives free, and you shall see victory on all sides. When God first called me into the ministry, you know, I wanted to go to Bible school, because everybody went to Bible school, and God said, no, I don't want you to go to Bible school. I don't want you to have man's doctrine in you. I want the Holy Spirit to teach you, and the Holy Spirit will teach you of all things. And the churches I went into, you know, because the Spirit of God was always on me, I didn't know that, what it was. I didn't know about prophecy. I didn't know I could hear God's voice, and I'd go to my pastor and say, what's going on? And they said, go sit down and shut up. See, they didn't understand. So God said, the Holy Spirit will teach you all things. And he'd always take me to the Scripture and pull it out, you know, show me it was in the Scripture what he told me. So I knew I wasn't going off in some tangent somewhere. And God will do the very same thing. If he has called you, his Spirit's going to teach you, and he'll back it up by his Word. And then no man can take that away from you. I don't care how hard they try. Then God says, look no further, little ones, for you have come to the dispensation of times that I have foretold about. Multitudes will gather to hear the truth of my words that you shall speak. Are you here? If you come to revival, then you come to be changed. You came to be transformed into the newness that God is trying to get the churches to walk into. Many, many churches are going to fall at this given time because they will not change, and they will not walk into the newness that God's trying to get it. I'm just telling you what I'm hearing God say. All right? So, you know, are you one of those churches that won't change? Are you one of those churches? You know, because we individually make up the church, right? So are you one of those churches that's going to stay stagnant and stale and just sit there and die in the vine? You know, you have to make that choice yourself. God will not force you to make that choice. No, God said, no longer will you be vying for others' attention, for you will know that it is I that calls and it is I that appoints. We will quit this stupid stuff that we do, that you want everybody's approval. I'll tell you what, you're better off if you don't get anybody's approval. That if you just go ahead and walk with God and do what God's telling you to do, if they don't like it, well then, you know, they're just going to have to deal with it. They're going to take, you know, sometimes I say, well, just take it to God. He'll tell you the truth. Or if somebody's called and said something dumb to me, I said, have you prayed? Did you pray before you called me? No, I suggest you go pray. And then you call me after you pray. I never hear from him again. Because if you prayed, you wouldn't have been making that phone call anyhow, or you wouldn't have been writing that email, right? And I'm not being ignorant. We just don't need to go down there and dwell with those things. God's taken us out of that mess, has he not? then we have to stay up here in the heavenly places with God, and we need to keep walking with him, because the devil's always going to try to take you off course. Oh, you're back to work. He's always going to try to take you off course. Always. He's never going to quit. I'm here to stand as an example, tell you, he never quits. And whenever you think you've made one step forward, he pulls a rug and yanks it right off underneath you, and you've got another problem to deal with. Right? God went on to say, so many have rejected the purging that is necessary to do this great and mighty works. So many have rejected the purging. They didn't want to change, didn't want to be cleaned up. So many have rejected the purging that is necessary to do this great and mighty works. So many have said, you are deceived. But I tell you a truth, ear has not heard nor eye seen what I am about to do in this time frame. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Remember, we're going to do the greater works. I think he covers that. But, and see, this is stuff that people have not yet heard of. I've read in 40 years, I've read so many different versions of the greater works. And when the Bible's over, I'm going to take time to say, God, now I want to hear what the greater works is. I don't want to read what everybody's been writing about and making books about. I want to hear from you personally, what is the greater works that we're entering into? Amen. I do not want to be deceived by what somebody else is saying. It could be the truth that they're saying, but then God will verify it. Amen. Then he says, cry aloud, cry aloud, cry aloud, my children, and bring forth the mighty wind of my spirit that will cleanse even the very air that you breathe. Mighty warriors you are that I have called to the forefront, and I will use you mightily in this end time crusade for souls. So he's saying, cry aloud, you know, cry the victory shout, you know, cleanse the air around about you that you breathe. Quit breathing in the garbage that's around about you. You know, when you walk into a house of God, you should sanctify yourself. When you get in your seat, just plead the blood of Jesus all over you, because you don't know who's going to come in and sit down beside you. Amen. Come on. A true warrior is happy to go into battle and defeat the enemy on all sides. So why? So others will live free and unencumbered by adversity. And a true warrior, they do not moan and complain. They just suit up and go. Put on the full armor of God and go. Isn't that what that's saying? I am saying tonight, suit up and go. Suit up and accomplish all that I am setting before you. You say, I don't know what you're setting before me. You will. And when he said that, you know, he said, I promise you, you will. He was a little bit adamant about that. You're going to know what it is he's doing with you. Then he said, I have sustained you thus far, and I will continue to sustain you. You have absolutely nothing to fear. You can go forward unhindered on all sides, knowing that this is a time of the angelic army. And Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:2. Then he went on to say, read my word and see how, when the battles were fought and I was with them, that my angelic armies would wipe out in terror armies, and I'm going to do the very same thing at this given time. So I wasn't about to write down all the scriptures about the armies he wiped out. You get in the Old Testament, you see about all the armies he wiped out. Amen. And he said, he's bringing that time back again. The angels are already here. The angels are already on assignment. There's angels standing by just waiting for you to put them on assignment. You need to start using your angels. Then he said, he threw this in there. You think your President Donald Trump will be defeated? Not so, not so. I called him and I will uphold him with my strong right hand. I wasn't even going to put it in. He said, you leave that there. So there you go. You know, he can throw anything he wants to into anything, right? All right, then he went on to say, you shall hear the crack of the whip as I wipe out the enemy. That excited me. You shall hear the crack of the whip as I wipe out the enemy. He thinks he is entrenched and cannot be moved by you, but he will see otherwise. He thinks he can continue to scare you and you will continue to cower before him, but not so. He thinks he has you all tied up and ready for the fire, not so. You wait and see what I will do with your enemies as you surrender all of yourself to me and as you sit at my feet and worship me in spirit and in truth. Let's read that one loud. You wait and see what I will do with your enemies as you surrender all of yourself to me and as you sit at my feet and worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm telling you guys, I am a living example of how if you just sit at God's feet and you give your enemies to him, he will defeat your enemies. You won't have to fight not one lick. All your fighting is done rejoicing and praising the Father for what's going on around about you. The war cry of victory will be heard inside the camp and outside the camp. For the streets will become alive with victory over the enemy, and the cross they will willingly pick up and follow me and help with this great harvest of souls. So he's talking about the street ministry there. Let's read that again. The war cry of victory will be heard inside the camp, inside the church, and outside the camp. For the streets will become alive with victory over the enemy, and the cross they will willingly pick up and follow me and help with this great harvest of souls. And when he said that, I really literally saw, Elaine, you standing there, and multitudes of lost souls that had come into the kingdom, and they were going around laying hands on the people that were being healed, and they were preaching the gospel to these other lost souls. And they invited them to the meeting. You were having street meetings. They invited them to the meetings, and then you ministered to them. And they see the ones that were lost and then were saved, they could minister to the other ones that they had been running the streets with and to get them saved too. I'm just hearing God say right now, the street is going to become so alive with saved souls that will be more in the streets than there are in the church. Praise God. I think we'll go to the church and put streets and center chairs up. You know, I was looking at Billy Graham's, they had something about Billy Graham the other day, and I was just looking at him and looking around, and I thought, look at that stadium. It's packed out with people and not a chair anywhere. People just came in there and stood. Now they want a comfortable chair. Amen. But the stadiums were piled full of people. Not one chair anywhere except the one Billy Graham sat on and his little people that were behind him. Now, I thought that was awesome. If you think about overseas, when Reinhardt Bunke and them, they don't have no chairs for them to sit on. They walk for miles and miles and miles just to hear the gospel. They would come for miles just to hear this. Amen? And if I said one word that displeased them, they wouldn't get up and put the coat on and walk out. They stay right there because they want to hear the word of God. They do. We just don't understand what we have. You know, America doesn't. God went on to say, who could stop the mighty King of Kings? Nothing and no one, not even the adversary and his league of soldiers. We own the battlefield and we will always possess it with great victories on all sides. This is God speaking. God said, we own the battlefield. I thought that was exciting. I never thought about that. We own the battlefield. What right does the enemy have to come on our battlefield? See that? We own the battlefield, and we will always possess it with great victories on all sides. We just won't possess it. We'll have victories. Every time the enemy comes on our battlefield, our home, our business, whatever, church, we will always have the victory. He'll always be defeated. Then God said, listen up, shout the victory cry tonight. Amen. Now that was the end of what God told me to give you. I thought that's awesome. Isn't that awesome? Now, my question is, do you believe Jesus Christ is in the same boat with you? You know, he was talking about steering the boat to begin with. Put another way, are you in his boat? Even more, do you have faith that he is at the helm of his church? Do you have faith to allow him to be at the helm of your life? God's always, I remember all this stuff all these years, and God would tell me, I'm at the helm of the boat. Just you sit down and be quiet. I know how to steer a boat, Are you listening here? He knows how to steer your life. He knows how to guide you through those stormy, rocky waters. He knows how to bring you into the still waters. He knows where to tell you to cast your net. Go down to 54th Street and stand in that corner and shout hallelujah and see how many souls come out. See what I'm saying? Then I said, God will give you enough grace for today. He will hold you up. He will meet all your needs. And when tomorrow comes, he will do it all again. You don't have to worry about what's going on tomorrow if you start following God. God is in your life. He's in control of your life. He's going to be there at every turn. And I don't care how, you know, you can pray, you can believe, and your faith can be up into the mountains, and you know what the devil will do, and everything's going sort of okay, and all of a sudden, next day, here comes old Slewfoot. You know, and he just starts his junk. Then you have to do your battle cry again, right? I said, God, what can I give these people tonight? And I thought about a great big sword where you can just cut his head off. One big swipe and his head's rolling. Not a stone, but a sword. And I just, you know, David did cut Goliath's head off, but I want to cut his head off for first thing. I don't want to maybe miss the mark. We really need to gear up here tonight, guys, of what God called a suit up. And we just need to get ourselves strong in the Lord. And we need to get the joy of the Lord inside of us so it bubbles out. And we need to go forth and we need to slay the dragons in the land. We just need to do that. And you guys, your simple thoughts, you need to get the simple thoughts out. Come on, you can't have your one ear in tune to the things of the world and the other ear in tune to the voice of God. It does not work because a clamor in between will distract you and you won't be able to do what God's telling you to do. Now, if I was a person that was not in tune to God and got distracted, you would never get a message. You never would. But I'm not. I'm sold out to God and God alone. And I know that he's my, don't you know that God is your source? Hasn't he proved that over to you over and over and over again? I don't care if you're down to you didn't even have a last penny. God always came through. I don't care if you just had somebody come and give you a sandwich. He came through. See, we don't look at it like that. We want $1 million in the bank account. We want a big fancy car in the driveway. We want a pocket full of money. We want friends. We want people to come and say, oh, you poor thing, you. You know, we just want to be pampered all the time. That is not the way a child of God is. A child of God is sold out to God, knowing that God loves them, and God's going to give you everything that you have need of, including friends. But if you're seeking those things, you're not going to find them. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Right? And then everything else is going to be added unto you. But we seek the things of the world, then expect God to, we put God in the sandwich somewhere. I'm telling you guys, are you going to be a fisherman or are you just going to sit around and do nothing? And God's calling you forth tonight to be transformed into a warrior of God and become a fisher of men instead of fisher of things of this world. The lusts and the perversions and all that drugs and all that junk that's in the world. If these things are still heaped upon your mind and you have not yet sunk deep enough into God's river, you're still waiting around and God wants you in there where he can drown you. Are you listening? You still have not sat at his feet long enough and cried out hard enough. You're still allowing the distractions of the world to come in and steal from you. It's time. But God's been saying, I want you to become intimate with me. And he's been saying, I want you to come up in the throne room and sit at my feet and let me teach you. He is not saying those things just because he doesn't have to say nothing. He's not like some women and men who have to just have water running out of their mouth all the time. He only says what has to be said, and he doesn't say anything else. And I think it's time the body of Christ becomes the same way. You don't have to be pleasing people all the time with words. You just have to say what God has to say, and you have to get out there and be a vessel of honor that God can work through. And you have to watch the kingdom of God come from heaven to earth. Amen.